Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. It's Stephanie Wilson here. Welcome to Multicultural Moments. And we're picking up where we left off. It's only a half hour show, and this man is so rich that there's never enough time to cover his whole entire escapade on this planet. Anyway,
yep.
Papalito Melendez, the one and only.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Good night or good morning if somebody's listening somewhere else. How you doing?
I'm doing good. So I was saying we'll just pick up where you left off. You know, we're talking about New Yorican Post Cafe and how they're going to be renovating because they got this big grant. And then I think that's where our time ran out.
Okay, well, you know, like I heard they got some money to do, you know, they got a grant, which is cool because that means recognition, you know, for the cafe's longevity, you know, being something for a long time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that, you know, so that's cool, you know, but I'm saying that, you know, a lot of people have come and gone through the cafe. And I think that, you know, especially the people who were there initially, who had those roles, who did those things, you know, who innovated all of that, really, you know, where a lot of other things stem from, like, you know, hip hop, rap, and all these other things. They're all post beat movements, like we talked about earlier. I like to see the cafe renovated and offices and all of that, but you know, I also think that hello?
Hello?
There should be some kind of program. Somebody's trying to call me. There should be some type of program where we can where we can honor those people who did the things that they did, you know, when they did them, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, you know, last time, you know? But anyway, I think that's what I was saying. But I think I wanted to read this poem with Ginsberg. I don't know if I didn't read this, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. This is, I was talking about when Pedro came over to my house to tell me that Allen Ginsberg had died.
Oh, no, you didn't give me that story, did you?
I didn't give you that story.
I don't think so.
Well, okay, okay.
No.
You know, like I say, a lot of people passed through the cafe. Even, you know, Luis Guzman, you know, the famous actor, you know, come from the Lower East Side,
yeah.
You know. And right now, you know, Paul Beatty, right, that got that award that nobody gets, the first black person to get this award for short stories. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Paul Beatty? Well, Paul
yeah.
Beatty apparently was a writer is apparently a young writer, and he strolled to the New Yorican as well and was influenced and all of that. You know, he was talking about, he was saying. You know, so, you know, like I'm saying, there's a lot. Anyway, let me give you a little bit of history with this poem. So Pedro Pietri, my good friend, Reverendo Pedro Pietri, comes to my house in the Bronx to tell me that Allen Ginsberg died, right? And it was the morning that Ginsberg had died. And so, you know, we, you know, do everything we got, you know. I got some rum and some herb and stuff, you know. Pedro got his little packaging and... So we get to talking about old times, and we talk about the time Ginsberg came on to me in the cafe, in the first New Yorican cafe, which was on 6th Street between A and B. And so, you know, as Pedro and I are doing our eulogy thing, hanging out, I wrote this poem, and I'd like to share it with you. Let me see. I'm reading it off of a PDF. Oh, okay, I could do it. I'm reading it off of a PDF. It's called The Howling, and, you know, dedicated to Howl. My condolences, my fellow poet, for you know it and are secured. and how starving, hysterical, naked the Negro streets can be at dawn. When life imitates poetry, and poetry transforms itself into a tree of mystery, of unknown origin, before Adam and Eve, spiritually blessed by the original sin, and we know once again that we are alone in the world again, as always been, all we have left is ourselves. Thus, my good friend, the Reverend Pedro Pietri, came to visit me, to tell me of the mystery, to share the poetic tragedy with his friend and fellow poet, me, to drink a pint of rum or two in honor of you and mellow out, to read aloud some poetry and chill and shout in tribute to your gracious passing by, our fellow friend, Mr. Allen Ginsberg, poet, sir. That I remember how absurd one time, the time when I was almost out my mind and you came on to me in the first New Rican Poets Cafe on 6th Street off Avenue A, and Miguel and Lucky and Bimbo and Eddie and Willie were there, and Jack and Neil too, and old Walt was sitting in a corner with Dylan taking notes. Come with me to Boulder, and we'll get lost in a cloud of sperm. What you say, motherfucker? I'll cut your fucking throat, sucker. I cried as I pulled out my pocket knife of paranoia. How dare you, my reality, challenging my very being, a man, I think, and readied myself. And readied myself. Did you repeat your poetic words that had insulted me so goddamn much, as I held fast my fragile manhood, drunker than I cared to be, when it was Pedro, who was not so reverent at the time, who cooled it all with his great laughter, saying, Papa, Papa, you don't want to kill Allen Ginsberg, bro. Well, no. Of course not, no. I am a pacifist or a fascist, I think. And we settled on another drink, which to this day has yet to end, as is the love between the lips of poets, lovers, and their friends. For more than what to tell, you told us how to tell, and to tell truthfully for the pure honesty, though now your face fades from my face as your time has come to leave, and your time is America's time, passing slowly like sand in a cosmic hourglass. So like you, I too saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by AIDS and indifference. That was their madness and ours as well. So we lift our glass and say farewell, because the bottle of rum is half empty or half full, depending upon your point of view, if it be optimistic or a pessimistic view, according to how that intelligence contest goes. For all we know, it's time for another bottle to obtain a new worldview, while honoring the sweet, bittersweet memory of you. And when you get to heaven, give him hell, Ginsberg.
Wow, is that the end?
Yeah, that's the end.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
wow.
1990. Yeah, 1999.
Bravo! I was on an escapade. I was on a journey. How long did it take you to write that? I really was on a journey. How long did it take you to write that?
That day, Pedro and I were sitting down and talking, I just started writing and remembering that night. You know how crazy it was, and how crazy we all were. You know, I'm going to read another poem to you. This is a back-to-back, okay?
This is
a poem I wrote for Miri Baraka's 80th birthday. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. It's called Poem for a Poet's Birthday.
Oh, wow. I still got my bongos. I do have bongos, though, but that's okay.
That's true. You have them nearby?
No, they're in the living room. Yeah, but next time I'll bring my bong.
It is a bongo poem. You'll see. We'll should do this next time. Yeah. We should record it. Okay.
Yeah.
Poem for a poet's birthday for Miri Baraka. To say happy birthday is to say I love you, as comes from everyone who utters happy birthday to you today. In appreciation of you for you being you in this world, sharing yourself, a spiritual being in a human experiencing life from a poet's point of view, thus you, camouflaged in the hue of ebony, in your own mystery that ebbs and flows with time and space, encircled in a galaxy of immediate urgency, placed here with antenna tuned to the political, hypocritical frequency of social inequality, to profess in the prophecy of poetry. Oh, and what a life that be, that led poets like Sandra Maria Estevez and me to ride down to Washington, D.C. to read some poetry to a group of teens who in their wisdom were keen to your wisdom in a damp and chilly church community center basement / creative writing poetry type setting. Oh, were they not then among us hipsters on those unforgettable Saturday nights? Special poetry readings at you and Amina's in Newark, the late Reverendo Pedro and the great Hilton Ruiz accompanying each other and me on conga and piano respectively, though Pedro was something like way off key. Three drunks as three drunks can be. Hilton looking up from his mad groove on the black and ivory keys, checking out these madder cats wailing poetry like we were all crazy. And yes, we were, with all the other would-be poets and musicians, artists, painters, and sculptors, pretenders and hustlers, all with their lovers, all lovers of poetry and their children, if they had them, there with them, running around the house, in and out of rooms, speaking of Michelangelo and Thelonious Monk, jazz and the singing of blues and the music of poetry running amok, flowing like wine, grapes of wrath and laughter spilling over from plastic cups, the smell of high-priced perfume and sweat, and listening to and fro and networking before there was surfing and there was no text messaging. Instead, interesting poetic ideas, flesh to flesh, eyeball to eyeball, racing through like some sweet bird of youth, unaware of its beauty, unassuming in grace. Beatniks and all postmodern dudes, black militants and radicals of a mathematical persuasion, activists, all commies, socialists, Dada, surrealists, freedom fighting wordsmith, blessed with the gift to talk shit to a mountain of shit, the hip, the hop, spoken word and spitting rhyme, must pay some props to the griot rapper, the sage upon the stage who speaks with or without the written page, but nonetheless whose rage can be placed to a specific place in time, all because of blood that flowed past time, militant fire and brimstone issuing forth from this brother's big mouth to talk about the culture that he helped cultivate, through which now the youth of today has something to say. So to you, our brother and sacred sage, master piecer of the white blank page, having lived to such a ripe, well-rounded age, and our legendary legend currently living among the living and working on a novel, Life of Poetry, as a poet most notably, so thus it be said and thus it be heard, poet, master poet, sir, undisputed poet laureate of Newark and the mental state of Nueva Jersey for life, happy birthday, bro. Word up.
Wow. This is how you do it. This is applause. You hear this? That's how you applaud when you're beatnik with the clipping the fingers, remember? No? Right? So instead of clapping, you go like this. Clip your popping fingers. Wow. You know, your poetry is so it's like it like pushes you down the road. Like you might not want to go, but it just keeps pushing you and pushing you. And before you know it, you're there. You're right there seeing it. Hello?
Okay, thank you very much. Very, very, very nice to say. Thank you.
Really?
Well, you know, these particular two poems are dedicated to two poets. You know, I have a poem for Pedro.
Right, so very passionate, yeah.
You know, these are like, you know, Pedro used to write eulogies for everybody, you know? In fact, yeah. He wrote a poem for me. I have to find it, but when we first met, you know, because I was all, you know, broken up because we had lost an artist, Tito Perez, Martin Tito Perez, who was a great photographer, painter. He got beat up by the police and you know, one drunken night, and you know, he was murdered. And he was like the first one of us to get killed. This was in 1978. And so things, you know, then, you know, then AIDS, you know, took away a lot of people, you know. So, you know, the New Yorican poets movement is very, very pungent. And very pregnant with shit that people should know. It's, you know, it's underground. And you can see how it's affected so many things, you know, like we're talking about selfie poetry, you know, like how people are, you know, to me, like they digress, you know what I mean? They took the movement and digress. They're, you know, writing poems about themselves, where you can see that, yes, we went through a phase of that, but then, you know, and you have to go through a phase of that because that's the most familiar thing is yourself, even though you're unknown to yourself.
Right.
But you're investigating, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And now
I wanted to ask you specifically about some of your activities. Not all of them, because some of them you might not want to talk about. But like you went down to D.C. and I'd also like to know about what that was about, and also about what do you have to say about Puerto Rico and what's going on with Puerto Rico economically and you know, as far as
politically. Well, you know, we went to Washington D.C. a couple of weeks ago. I got to look at my calendar to see what day that actually was. But we went down there and protested. That was on the 9th, and we protested. You know, a few thousand people went. You know, not tens of thousands, but you know, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people altogether may have been there. And, you know, to protest the two things, actually, that are going on, you know. One is, you know, we have two political prisoners who are still imprisoned. And right now the campaign is to release Oscar Lopez Rivera, who's been in prison for 35 years on charges of sedition. But had, you know, never hurt anyone, didn't kill anyone in his act. But there are other people... God, this is crazy. I gotta hold on a minute, please. I'm sorry.
You can answer it. We'll...
Yeah. Rolinda.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. We have 11
minutes, so you can call back.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's just that somebody needed to reach me in emergency. I could tell because they've been calling me and. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. So anyway, the thing is that plus Puerto Rico's colonial state is so oppressive, and Americans don't know about it. You know, Americans found out what about Puerto Rico? They got mad when Mark Anthony sang the national anthem at a damn baseball game or something for 9/11, whenever he did it. Then they don't know about Puerto Rico. They find out when Seinfeld, you know, has Kramer step on our flag when he inadvertently burns it during the Puerto Rican parade in their next to last episode, you know, totally as a franchise. And then gives a tepid, you know, apology, you know, one of those that begin with if. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's a really state of a second-class citizenship. And, for you know, like Americans don't know that, for instance, products coming into Puerto Rico from other ports of call have to first go to damn Florida, and their cargo needs to be removed and put onto an American vessel, and then they can continue with that cargo to Puerto Rico. And, of course, this costs more money, but it's always been that way since about 1917. So you can imagine the cost that this has done. And then, you know, it's basically it's being charged for being a colony, you know, for 118 years. Plus, there's so much damn corruption in Puerto Rico, you know, because, you know, people can't get conquered without the complicity of some of their cousins and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so there's that too, you know. People want to become rich, you know, and exploit their own people. You know, I just find that that is the essence of stealing candy from a baby. You know? So we went there to protest all of that, you know, and Obama may have been there and, you know, pulled the curtain and, you know, took a peek or not. I don't know, you know, he's still there to upgrade the FBI's dossier, you know. And, oh, look, Papa got a beard this time, you know.
Oh.
I'm not too fond of demonstrations and shit. I'd rather throw a brick.
Yeah, you know, like, well, my thing is, too, I don't like marches. I went to a march once, and it freaked me out. Like, I don't go to parades because I can't deal with, you know. But, you know, the artist, you could do your activism through your art, and that's what I do.
That's right.
Because I'm not a marcher. I'll do it through my craft.
That's right. Let me read you an excerpt from my poem that I wrote for Oscar, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this is an excerpt from this poem. It's a long poem. It's like 8 pages long.
Oh, wow. We got 7 minutes, honey.
No. This is, I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to read you one small
stanza.
Okay, it goes like this. What we need now is un nuevo movimiento patrimonico para to save the histórico artístico cultura de Puerto Rico made by our artists con amor por valor y sacrificio. A vanguard of artists armed to the teeth who've beaten their pens and paintbrushes into weapons of mass destruction to retrieve our national and natural treasures before the artifacts for sale, fire sale of the history of Puerto Rico and its people in El Caribe puts an end to the proud legacy of Los Taínos once and for all.
Mm.
Because these people, this comité, which they call PROMESA, you know, which is a financial board to oversee Puerto Rico, you know, they basically want to sell beaches, you know, beach property and art, you know, art in museums and stuff, you know, all the stuff that belongs to the people. They basically, you know, like when a person goes bankrupt and they have a goddamn auction, they want to do that to Rico, to pay a debt that you know, that this country, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, it's like billing you for dying of cancer, shit like that. Anyway, but I've enjoyed these talks, Stephanie. I know that, you know, I hope your film comes out, you know, soon, that you're working on, and you have a great, it has un gran éxito. You know, the people receive it, and I look forward to being there with you when it comes out.
Definitely, darling. And I'll have you on again, and we could talk about the film once we're wrapped, okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much, darling. Enjoy.
Okay. Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye-bye. Hi, everyone. Now, if you missed the show in its entirety, you can always listen on demand. In about 15 minutes, will be available on demand. And it will be available to perpetuity, I believe. So if you don't get it today, maybe it's by next week, next month, or next year. It'll be there. In the meantime, have a multicultural moment. Ciao. We'll be right back.